Good morning, everyone. We give you all a warm welcome to our worship service this morning. And the following are the announcements. As you may be wondering where our preacher is this morning, the Reverend James Julie is just... We heard this morning that he couldn't be with us because he has a migraine headache and unable to preach. So we are going to lead the service, and we'll have a CD that the Reverend Tim Donaghy will be the speaker. So first of all, the announcements for this incoming week. This evening, God willing, the Reverend George Johnson will be our preacher. And I understand he is a retired Presbyterian minister. Tuesday, a congregational meeting at 8 p.m. in the hall to discuss the relocation of the manse. A property at 22 Cribbitimpen Road has been viewed, which may be suitable. And we know that there's some on holidays. It's not the best time of year to have a congregational meeting, but this property has just come on the market, and we want to discuss whether we should be attempting to buy it or not. If you're unable to attend, please speak to an elder or deacon if you wish to express your opinion on this matter. Next Lord's Day, Mr. George Wright, an elder in Ballyclare congregation, will be our preacher at 12 noon. And the evening preacher will be Mr. Phil Dunn, a European Missionary Fellowship representative of this area. And announcement for the ladies, that's of their next fellowship meeting, Thursday the 18th. And you're asked to read chapter 5 of the book Spiritual Health Check. The announcements for the rest of the month of July are on the sheet. And please hold on to this announcement sheet, for this is the announcement sheet for the whole month. So remember to just hold on to it. Let's come to God and worship Him, singing from Psalm 113, the B version. Psalm 113, B, stanzas 1 to 5, and the tune 2, 3, 4. Praise Jehovah, praise the Lord, ye His servants, praise accord. Blessed be Jehovah's name, evermore His praise proclaim. It is our privilege today to be here to praise God. Next stanza 2, from the dawn to setting sun, praise the Lord, the mighty one. Over all nations He is high, yea, His glory crowns the sky. There's plenty of presidents and prime ministers. We have a new prime minister. They may think that they're in charge, but it's God Almighty who is in charge. So let us come and praise this mighty God. Psalm 113b. Thank you. us remain standing for prayer if you are able. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can come to you in prayer this morning as we have been remembering in our psalm that you are the mighty God, you are the one who've made heavens and earth, you are the one that we need to praise, and that you are indeed praised from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. We pray for your people today who meet in worship right around this world, and we pray that as your name is lifted up, that many will come to put their trust in you, that as a result of the preaching and teaching of your word today, that there will be rejoicing in heaven over sinners who repent and turn to you. We thank you for providing for our daily needs. We thank you for your care over us this past week. We thank you for health and strength given. We would be mindful of those who have health issues, especially in this congregation. We pray that you would be with them this day and provide for them. Pray for those who are in their own home, or those who are in nursing homes, or those in hospital. We pray that you would provide for them, restoring health and strength where that is your will. We thank you that we have pleasant homes to live in. We remember those who have no home at all, are those who live in war-torn areas where there's much uncertainty. And we pray that for your people in these circumstances. We thank you for the weather. So often we complain, but we remember lands where there has been typhoons and hurricanes in past days. We pray for those who are in difficult circumstances because of these happenings, and we pray for governments and those who would seek to bring relief in these situations. We pray that for the Reverend Julie, as he is laid aside this morning, we pray that soon he would know better health. We pray for the members of our fellowship who are on holidays. We pray that you would watch over them, keep them in safety. We pray that they would have an enjoyable time and a relaxing time, and that you would bring them back here into this fellowship to live and to serve you. As we pray that you would help us in our time of worship, take away all distractions from our mind as we sing your praises, and as we present our offerings, and as we listen to your word, we pray that you would enable us to do that in a way that pleases you. Hear our prayers, pardon and forgive our sins, and our many shortcomings, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Our collection will be taken up, and Harold will announce the next psalm and bring the Bible reading to us.
Our scripture reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, page 950 in the Church Bible. And we will read verses 1 to 30. This is God's word. Begin at verse 1 of the chapter. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees, because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." May God bless the reading of his word. Please take up your psalters. We're going to sing from Psalm 93b. Psalm 93b. We will sing the entire psalm to the tune 93. We're reading stanza 1. The Lord is King, and he is robed in majesty most bright. The Lord has dressed himself with strength, and clothed himself with might. Stanza 2, the word he has established firm, that moved it cannot be. Your throne established is of old, you from eternity. And this psalm speaks of the all-powerful God, who's in control of all things in heaven and on earth. His throne is unshakable. He's a great and mighty God. So we'll sing these stanzas 1 to 5 to June 93 and praise to God. And after we sing this psalm, please remain standing for prayer if you're able, and Roy will lead us in prayer.
And
God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before the Lord the King, and he is robed in majesty most bright. Help us to keep this in mind, for you are so great and we are but the people of this earth. We are earthly. We do not love you as we should. We sin daily in thought, in word, and in deed. But we give you thanks that you have called us to come and worship you and bring our prayers before you. We thank you for the work of the camps that have gone on this past week. We thank you for the good numbers who have attended. And we thank you for the speaker, Joel Lockridge. And we pray for these young people. We thank you for them each one. We pray that they would go home to their own congregations and their places of study or work, and that they would be more determined to live for you and to serve you. We pray for those who may not yet know you as their Savior and Lord. We pray that you would use the words that they heard to direct them to see their need of you and enable them to put their trust in you as their Savior. And we pray that you would help all of our young people to live out their faith day by day. We all live in times where your word is criticized and your people slandered and mocked. But we pray that you would help us all, young and old, to live for you wherever we are, find ourselves day by day. We thank you for the services that were held in Portrush congregation this past week. And we pray that, thank you for them. And we pray that you would continue to bless that word to all who were able to attend those meetings. We pray for all outreach work that takes place through these summer months. We pray for the work of children's work like CSSM and Holiday Bible Clubs. We thank you for some of those who have been held in our own congregations this last week and in the weeks to come. We pray that your blessing on all these outreaches. We pray for the work of Keswick at Port Stewart this incoming week, and we pray that your blessing would be upon your people there. We pray that you would be with us as a congregation as we consider whether to have our manse in Ballymoney in Beckett Park, or whether to move it and buy property closer to the church building. We pray for our meeting on Tuesday evening. We pray that of those that are around, that a good number would be able to come along, and that you would help us in our discussion. And we pray that whatever the outcome would be, that you would keep us united and of one mind. We pray for those of our fellowship who are on holiday at this time. We pray that you would watch over them and keep them and bless their time away and bring them back in peace and in safety. We pray for the Great Gateway Fellowship in Londonderry, as this week they're opening their book shop. We pray that this would be used of you in getting folk into the premises and that this would be a means that in time people will come to worship in that same building, that you would build your church up there once again in that city, and that a good work will be able to be carried out there. We pray for ourselves as a vacant congregation, and you would in time provide us with a suitable pastor, that you would, even at this time, would be preparing that person for us and preparing us for that person, so that your work would continue here and with your blessing grow from strength to strength. Just be with us now as we come to listen to your word. The circumstances would be different from normal, but your word is still the same, and we pray that you would use it in our lives, and may we go away from this place knowing that it was good for us to be here, for we met afresh with the living Lord. Hear our prayers now as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will now listen to a CD in which the Reverend Tim Donaghy is the speaker.
We're very familiar with the picture given in the scripture of sheep and shepherds. It's quite a common picture that's given in the Old and New Testaments, I suppose partly because many of the Israelites in the Old Testament period especially looked after sheep. It was a common practice for them. And so the concept of a sheep and a shepherd was well known to the Israelites. The leaders of the people, especially those who were charged with their spiritual welfare, were often referred to as shepherds, as we have here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, the context of the chapter in Ezekiel is the fall of Jerusalem and the scattering of Israel as a nation. The prophet had been warning them of their conduct. He had been bringing to them the message of God that there was going to be judgment upon them. And here in this chapter, in the first few verses, he deals specifically with the shepherds of Israel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Here we have a picture of the condition of Israel. those who are charged with the responsibility of feeding the people of God, of bringing them the word of God, of instructing them in the ways of God, and in seeking to bring them in the to observe the commandments of God, were not concerned at all about the sheep, but were only concerned about themselves. They were only concerned with fattening up themselves. They were not concerned in the slightest with the sheep. Now, though this passage refers specifically to Israel as a nation, there are many lessons in this chapter that can be applied to mankind in general, to the church in particular. There are many lessons that we learn in this relationship between sheep and shepherd. And I want to draw out some of those lessons this evening. The first thing that we see is the plight of sheep without a shepherd. The plight of sheep without a shepherd. Or perhaps we might put it in a slightly different way. We might say the plight of people who are not being looked after, who are not being fed, who are not being cared for. And that's what we have in the opening verses, verses 1 to 10. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. So here we have a picture of a weak, sickly flock. Here we have a picture of animals that are lost and helpless and hopeless. And there are four evidences of being shepherdless. And I want to apply this particularly to men and women in the world. Men and women who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as shepherd. The vast majority of people around us every day, they are shepherdless. And there are four evidences of their being without a shepherd. First of all, there is weakness. There is weakness. They are without strength. Now we may think that that's rather a ridiculous kind of statement to apply to people all around us. For they often appear to be wealthy. They appear to be strong and healthy. They appear to have everything that they might possibly need. And yet the reality is, at the very heart of their life, there is weakness. There is no strength. There is no strength to overcome sin. There is no strength to overcome temptation. They are guided and driven by their own lusts and their own desires, and they are helpless to overcome it. They are in bondage to Satan. They may appear to be self-confident. They may appear to have everything that they need. They may appear to be very happy and peaceful and contented. But at the heart of things, they are without strength to overcome their own indwelling sin. They are without strength to please God. There is nothing that they can do that will please God. They are totally unable to glorify Him, to honor Him, and to please Him. And because they do not please Him, then His wrath remains upon them. They are without strength to overcome sin. They are without strength to please God. They are without strength to climb out of the pit in which they find themselves. Not only are they weak, but they are sick. You see, sickness is another evidence of being without a shepherd. You see, these sheep were sick and they haven't been bound up. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. They are not only without strength, they are without health. The sickness of depravity is upon every part of them. Total depravity does not mean that a person is as bad as he possibly could be. But it means that every single part of his nature and his being is contaminated and polluted by sin. His thoughts, his words, his actions, everything is polluted by sin. And so men and women in the world, men and women who do not have a shepherd, who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd, are weak and sick. Indeed, we can take it one stage further. For the Bible says not only are they sick, they are in fact dead. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They are weak, without strength. They are sick, without health. They are injured. They are without wholeness, without completeness. You see, there is a brokenness that comes from sin. Look at our society. The society in which we live, if we take our own province here, and if we look further afield into the United Kingdom, what do we see? We see a broken society. The Prime Minister tells us that we're all in this together. And yes, we are. We are all a part of this broken society. A society that is broken because it ignores God's law. A society that is broken because it tramples God's word underfoot. A society that is broken because it calls evil good and good evil. A broken society. And within that society, there are broken individuals. Go to the great cities of our land, and even to some of our smaller towns. And there are men and women and young people broken because of addiction to drink and drugs. There are young people whose lives are broken because of a lack of chastity. There are homes that are broken, families torn apart because of sin. They are injured, they are broken, and they have no one to bind them up. And then, perhaps even worse, they are lost, without direction, no direction, no protection, no care. You see, the sheep in this passage in Ezekiel 34, they had wandered away and they were lost, and there was nobody to search for them, nobody to find them, nobody to guide them, nobody to direct them. They were lost. And men and women in our society, men and women in this area, they're lost. Or they might drive around in their BMWs and Mercedes. They may have beautiful houses and everything that money can buy. But they're lost. They have no direction for their life. They have no protection from the evil one and no protection from their own sinfulness. No one to care for them. That's the plight of sheep without a shepherd. That's the plight of people who do not know the shepherd. Every day, we go in and out amongst people who are lost and sick and dead and weak and broken. They need a shepherd. They need someone to direct them. They need someone to strengthen them. They need someone to heal them. They need someone to bind them up. And that's where we come to the second point here. The plight of sheep without a shepherd. But then in verses 11 to 16, you have the provision of a shepherd. The provision of a shepherd. The failure of the appointed leaders of the people to provide properly for them led to them being scattered. Verse 5, they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. But God was gracious to his people. God was gracious to his flock in providing a shepherd who would be able to care adequately for his sheep. Look at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And here we have the identity of the shepherd. And there can be no doubt, there can be no mistake about the identity of this shepherd. He is God himself. Verse 11, Jehovah, the covenant God. I myself, says God, will search for my sheep and seek them out. But not only is it God himself in verse 11, but in verse 23, it tells us that this shepherd is the seed of David. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And that is confirmed for us in John chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. So here we have the provision of a shepherd, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is God of gods and man, true man. And he was the one who would be sent as a shepherd for the lost sheep. We see the invincibility of the shepherd. In verses 11 to 16, there are 12 I wills that are stated in connection with the work of this shepherd whom God would send. Look at what it says. We'll have a look at one or two of them. I myself will search for my sheep. I will search for them. And that's one of the glories of the gospel. That here there are thousands of people who are lost. They are without a shepherd. And the promise comes, I will seek for my sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ told us the parable, did he not? Of the person who had 100 sheep and one went missing. And the shepherd left the 99 and he went and he sought his one sheep until he found it. And that's the promise that God gives here. He will search out his sheep. He will seek for them and he will find them. And the wonder is that he does it through the proclamation of the word. He does it through the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he promised that he would call out his people. And so we go to men and women. We go to these weak, lost, injured, sick men and women. And we go to them with the gospel of saving grace. We go with the gospel and we tell them of a shepherd. We tell them of a shepherd who will bind up their wounds. We tell them of a shepherd who will rescue them. We tell them of a shepherd who will guide them and care for them and feed them. We tell them of Jesus. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And for those in the cloudy and gloomy day of sin, Jesus says, I will gather them. I'll bring them out. I will search for them, no matter where they are, in all the places to which they were scattered. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. Here we have the universality of the gospel of Christ. You see, the elect people of God are scattered. They are scattered in every nation. They're scattered in all sorts of parts and places. And yet Jesus says he will bring them. He will look for them. He will get them. And he will bring them back to their own land. And what's the land to which the shepherd brings his sheep? Surely heaven at last. He brings his sheep to the place prepared for them. This work of the shepherd is invincible. It cannot fail. You notice the certainty that we have in these words, I will. I will bring them out of the peoples. I will feed them on the mountains. I will feed them in a good pasture. And their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. So here we have the shepherd doing his work. He brings these lost, broken, injured, weak men and women, and he binds them up. And he heals them from their sinfulness. He takes away the corruption that is within them. And he gives them direction for their life. This shepherd, provided by God, God himself, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is invincible in redemption and in providence. For we see the two things here. Yes, he rescues them. They're lost. They're wandering. They're hurt. He gathers them. He brings them in. He binds them up. He heals their wounds. But then he does more than that. Then he feeds them. And then he cares for them. And so those of us who know that we have a shepherd, that we are part of the flock of Jesus Christ, that he is our shepherd, we know that he feeds us. He feeds us daily on his word. He feeds us and he cares for us and he protects us and he loves us and he guides us and he directs us and he is with us. Remember, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you where the wolf can attack. No, I'll be with you. I'm your shepherd. I'll be with you. That's the provision of a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see the purging of the flock and the presence of the shepherd. From verse 16b to verse 24. He says, I will seek the lost and bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for me, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. What's he saying here? He's saying that there are those who may seem to be a part of the flock of God, but they're really not. They're really not. And he will divide. He will sort out. He will discriminate between those who truly are a part of his flock and those who are not. He knows his flock, and he will judge with righteousness. Verse 20, therefore thus says the Lord God to them, behold, even I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. This shepherd of ours is a discriminating shepherd. He knows his sheep. That's what he says in John 10. I know my sheep and have known of mine. It is possible for us to deceive other sheep. It is possible for us to pretend to be what we are not. But this shepherd discriminates. This shepherd judges between one sheep and another. Now, he doesn't judge on the basis of their appearance. He doesn't judge on the basis of whether they are smart sheep or dumb sheep. No. The only discriminating mark is this. Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? Are you one of God's chosen people? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Or are you simply pretending? Pretending to be one of his, when in reality, you're not. You see, what the scripture says here is that this shepherd will discriminate, and he will separate one from the other. Now, that may well not be done until the day of judgment, but it will most certainly be done. The last thing that we have here, although he does say he will rule and defend those who are his sheep, his true sheep, he says in verse 23, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. But the final thing we see here is the prosperity granted by the shepherd, from verse 25 to the end. This shepherd promises to give certain things to his sheep, to his people. He will give to his people peace. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. One of the greatest gifts that God gives to his people is peace. Peace with God. One of the most awful things for those who do not have a shepherd. Yes, they are weak. Yes, they are sick. Yes, they are injured. And yes, they are lost. But perhaps the worst thing is that the wrath of God is upon them. The face of God is turned against them. God does not look upon them with favor, with mercy, or with grace. He is angry with the wicked all the day long. but for those who are his sheep, those whom he seeks and finds, those whom he brings into his sheepfold. Have peace with God. Judgment has been removed. No longer do we fear the wrath of God, for the smile of God is upon his people in Christ. For God looks upon his people, upon his sheep, with peace, with love. A covenant of peace. Judgment is removed, and we have peace in life through the removal of the enemy. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land. Well, the harmful beasts may still be around in the form of the devil and his angels, but we have peace in this life because their sting has been removed, because our shepherd has defeated them. He has killed the lion and the bear. He has killed the wolf that sought to ravage the flock. Peace. But then we are also promised blessing. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. He provides for his people. Jesus told his people to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And the one who has the cattle upon 1,000 hills is the one who says, "I will care for you. I will provide for you. I will look after you." Just imagine, the God who spoke the word and everything came into being, the one who holds the nations of the earth in his hand, says, "I will look after you." Not, "I will look after people in general, or Christians in general, but I will look after you. I will look after you in your home. I will look after you at your work. I will look after you in your relationships. I will look after you. Whatever your need may be, I will meet it." Isn't that wonderful? Showers of blessing. The blessing of God's provision, the blessing of God's presence, the blessing of God's guidance, the blessing of God's salvation. Peace, blessing, and the assurance of God's presence. Look at the last two verses. "Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you're men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them." God says, and this is absolutely staggering, the great King of heaven says of you and me, "They're mine. They belong to me." We have God's stamp of ownership on us. Just as the farmer marks his sheep, so God puts his stamp upon us. And for this great God to say of people like us, "You know, he is precious to me. He's mine. He belongs to me. Don't you dare touch him. Don't you dare touch her, because she belongs to me. What a glorious thing. God's presence, God's ownership, and God's commitment to us. Not only are we committed to him, but he is committed to us. You're men, and I am your God. I am committed to you. No matter what happens, if you are a sheep of my pasture, I am committed to you. Today, tomorrow, next week, and forever. Because you are mine. Isn't it wonderful to have a shepherd? Isn't it wonderful to be sheep of the good shepherd, the one who gave his life for us? But let us never be unmindful or unforgetful of those, some in our own families, who are shepherdless. They're lost. They're injured. They're broken. They're sick. Sick unto death. And they have no strength. The only hope they have is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is going to point them to the shepherd? Let's pray.
Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2.
So we'll continue by singing the words of Psalm 23. What better psalm could we have after thinking about that sermon? The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And right down to stanza 5. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Let us praise God using these words.
He liveth me, the God. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you. We confess we are sinners. We confess that we have fallen short of what you've asked us to do, and yet we can come and confess and seek repentance. Lord, we pray that you would help us on this your day, that you would have your Spirit upon us, that you would work in our lives, that you would strengthen and equip us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to build your church. And we pray that you would continue to bless your people. We just pray the blessing, and may that we know that the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, here and forevermore. Amen.